So I had a few hours during my birthday trip to Washington, D.C., to drop in on the Smithsonian Museum's National Portrait Gallery, which is one of my favorite among our capital's many free museums. Among other things, I saw this time was a Knock Your Socks Off special exhibit of 40 finalists in a nationwide contest for portraits of any type of medium of ordinary Americans. And of course, the artists who were there were so good that you end up seeing that each subject is anything but ordinary. It reminded me of my favorite quote by the painter Pablo Picasso, "Art washes away from the soul the dust of life." I was feeling energized and excited. I stopped by the restroom on my way out of the museum, and I encountered two young boys who seemed equally energized by their time in the museum. One of them said to the other, "Some of the paintings were bad." And then he paused while he grabbed a paper towel. I was waiting to hear what excited him. The rest, he went on, were terrible. Only then did I realize that his energy came entirely from looking forward to leaving. I was thinking about that in connection with this Sunday, the Sunday that some ministers call Come to Church Anyway Sunday, when those who read ahead in the congregational newsletters know that I'm going to be talking about stewardship. And people hear stewardship and they translate that to money and they say, "Oh God, do I really have to hear this?" And I realized that, it could be for some of you, like I'm like me visiting the portrait gallery, and most of the congregants are like the boys. We have different perspectives on this time of year when I and your lay leaders in this congregation ask you multiple times in multiple ways for a pledge of what you intend to contribute financially to CVUUS in the church year that begins next July 1st. Now, in case you're visiting or you're new to this process, I just want to take a minute and to say a little bit about the basics here. The pledge is not a legal obligation. It's your good faith estimate. And we have every year 120 to 125 pledges. Some of them are family units, some of them are individuals. And they allow us, when we see what those pledges are, to draft a proposed balanced budget for the congregation to consider, to amend if it desires, and to approve at the annual meeting in June. So this is part of making democracy work and how we handle our finances. Some of you are going to end up running into things you don't expect and revising your pledge downward as the year goes along. And that's going to be compensated by some people who have good fortune and make extra gifts in addition to their pledge, and by new members joining over the course of the year. When you add it all up, we know from experience that the pledges we receive from you in March give us a very reliable picture of where 80%-90% of our income is going to be coming from in the church year. So your pledging, what we're asking you for, actually allows us to be very open and prudent and democratic in our financial planning. Now, I'm happy to talk with you in more detail about any of this, and United as One is the theme that Tracy chose, and we'll be talking more about that when she's here next Sunday. But my main purpose this morning is to share why this Pledge Kickoff Sunday energizes me as your minister. The pledge drive doesn't ask you for money. It asks you to consider what CVUUS does with money, which is in turn a portrait of who we are and what we value. And if you can look at the amount that you choose to pledge with the eyes of the young man in our second reading, you just might find some inspiring truth about who you are as a person, at least who you are at this moment in time. Now, I'm going to come back to him and to us as individuals later, but right now, I need to say that one reason I was drawn to ministry is that I found Unitarian Universalist congregations to be among the most remarkable human inventions on the planet. There is nothing ordinary to me about CVUUS as a community. Now, our relationship to money is deeply intricate. It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating as the relationship of plants to soil, or words to music, or concepts like soul to science. If we exist to explore our strongest feelings together, maybe we should be talking more about our communal relationships to money, and maybe talking about it more bluntly. It's not that money's link to spirituality eludes us. If we stop and think about it, we see the link over and over, and we see what happens when non-spiritual people with power start handling our money. I think the problem is that thinking about it upsets us, and that's why we shy away. The concept of stewardship is a helpful way forward. Now, stewardship can be defined as sound management of something valuable entrusted to one's care. Something valuable, you know, it doesn't have to be money. Now, money is part of it. The financial gifts that you devote to CVUUS are valuable. Without them, you and the wider community outside our doors would not have this sanctuary to use for the many functions it provides, or employees dedicated to creating a physical and spiritual home worthy of your love and capable of loving you. I woke up in the middle of the night this week with a short thought forming in my head so clearly that I had to write it down before I could go back to sleep. It was this: death insists, but we exist to testify that love persists. Death insists, but we exist to testify that love persists. So what is a pledge in the coming weeks to CVUUS? It's your testimony that under your stewardship, love with a capital L is going to persist here in one form or another. You are predicting that future because you know it's in your power to fashion it. As the famous management consultant Peter Drucker often said to corporations and to nonprofit groups that he advised, the best way to predict the future is to create it. To repeat, stewardship is sound management of something valuable entrusted to one's care. Now, I find it a little bit ironic that in Unitarian Universalist communities, we can only exercise that sound management of that money entrusted to our care by attending closely to many things that we think of as invaluable that money can't buy: justice, healing wounds when we encounter them, respecting and exploring life's mysteries, encouraging each other to make and find meaning in our precious time together, accompanying each other through transitions like birth, the beginnings and ends of intense relationships, and death. You know, a lot of us have been working hard to accompany Francois through his hospitalization and his return home this week. No one gave me a yellow card about it, but it's widely known that he had a blood clot in his leg and in his lung last week, was in the hospital, had to cancel his trip to the National Library meeting in Nashville to talk about his book, and he's home now, struggling to put everything back together, and we have a food train and other things. There's all the stuff we're attending to that's invaluable part of stewardship. Churches that are rich in bank accounts but poor in fellowship and commitment to good works misunderstand what has been entrusted to their care. Now, that turns out to be very old news, judging by the Bible passage in our reading. This passage is extracted from that long letter of advice to Christian churches, as Esther told you. Now, some fair warning here. My reading of it, like my humanist take on Jesus and our time for all ages, and what we will be doing with our communion after the service, would likely be regarded as heresy in most Christian churches. Traditional Christianity stewards a salvation faith, that is, a ticket to heaven for believers that Jesus has been physically resurrected and would return for them. But I speak with admiration rather than disrespect when I say that I read this passage as the dawning of an inkling that maybe they misinterpreted Jesus. If the arrival of the promised future, or at least the timing of it, is proving uncertain, perhaps the truly valuable thing Jesus left was instructions on how to live in this world. They were to be stewards of beloved community. That's what that passage is about, as the unknown letter writer put it. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. I can only imagine what reports of selfishness and lagging attendance in those early congregations might have impelled this person to write this letter. You can read between the lines fear that there's a growing confusion about what their mission is because Jesus hasn't come back. Our mission seems clear to me, even though, being new youths, we could debate forever what words to use to describe it. For today, at least, I'd say our mission is this. We gather in community to nurture our better angels, committed to finding in each other and ourselves the strength and vision needed to make the world more just, beautiful, and compassionate. I think that's our mission in a nutshell, to nurture our better angels together, committed to finding in each other and ourselves the strength and the vision needed to make the world better. Now, this mission calls on us to approach stewardship with deep respect for the diversity of our interests, our gifts, and our circumstances. Some of us are at a stage in our lives where generosity of spirit and support for CVUUS is likely to be expressed primarily through financial contributions. These are genuine gifts that we need to thrive, and we deeply appreciate them. Other people come here with little or no financial wealth to spare, but are constant in their other ways of contributing to our vitality. They do not neglect to meet together, to provoke us to love and good deeds. These are also genuine gifts requiring our stewardship and without which CVUUS cannot thrive. Stewardship in this realm might call on us to provide childcare so that young parents are freer to participate in CVUUS fellowship, governance, and social action. Or, as we did on Friday night, food, so that anyone who showed up could participate in making and eating our pizzas, from the well-off among us to the homeless person trying to survive the winter sleeping at Charterhouse. Now, this might seem rather fine-grained for such a big word as stewardship, but stewardship is just one of those big things that's grounded in details. It's all in how you see them. Just the way I told you 2 weeks ago that religion is less about what you believe than how you see. When Michelle and I returned from Washington Monday, we found a package addressed to me from Michelle's cousin Marion and her husband. The unexpected gift was a new book by Brian Greene, a Columbia University physicist, that seemed hefty until I read the title. Until the End of Time, Mind, Matter, and Our Search for Meaning in an Evolving Universe. Wow, I thought, all that crammed into a slim 360 pages. 326 if you leave out the footnotes. Anyway, I was reading through chapters like The Lure of Eternity and Origins and Entropy and Duration and Impermanence. As dinner time approached, I went over to the table where Michelle was also reading. I asked what the article in the magazine she was reading, what had caught her attention. She said, "It's the history of KitchenAid, the company that made my mixer." I laughed, as you did, at the disparity, which Michelle initially suspected was some kind of put-down of her interests. Far from it, I assured her. I was struck by how much more connected her reading was to our actual lives. Financial stewardship at CVUUS is like that, deeply connected to our actual lives at CVUUS, worth our sincere attention. Now, the pledge drive is the occasion for talking about it today, but our annual operating budget is not the whole financial stewardship story. There's the question of the building an endowment for the future. And as we know from recent experience, capital campaigns for major projects like the Fellowship Hall and the kitchen that we've recently completed downstairs. And here's one more example that in the lingo of my old profession is hot off the presses. Recently, Michelle and I decided to join the ranks of those buying carbon offsets for our travel. In other words, we knew there was an environmental cost to our flying to Washington to visit our children for my birthday. We wanted to pay it. At first, my plan was to turn to Native Energy, a group in Burlington that has an app that calculates the dollar value of your emissions based on the method and distance of travel. And then Native Energy accepts donations based on your calculations that it bundles into grants. And the grants are used for projects like wind turbines that provide green energy to the homes and businesses of indigenous people on their tribal lands. But our plans came together just as I was learning that CVUUS's pellet boiler needs to be retired. Replacing that boiler with a greener energy source, most probably heat pumps, is likely to be very expensive if it is even technically feasible. It's going to take an expensive study just to find out if that's possible. But I decided that my carbon offset donations were going to be directed to a CVUUS reserve to help with the costs of our congregation doing the right thing environmentally, right here in our lives at home. Steve Meyer heard about it, and he's already decided to do the same. Now, I don't pretend that this approach to offsets is going to be a major funding source for our new boiler. My offset for the trip to Washington totaled just $8. But if all of us started doing this, a piece of what we need will accumulate, and we will learn more about the environmental costs of what we do personally and as a congregation. Whatever happens, my point this morning is that this too is stewardship, seeing the problem as sound management, not just of these facilities entrusted to us, but also of the earth itself. And sometimes sound management brings these two together in one action. In closing, I want to address the elephant in the room for many pledge drives. How much are you asking me for? One of my favorite New Yorker cartoons shows this couple in their apartment, and there's a rhinoceros there between them, and the husband is saying to the wife, "We'll talk about it when it becomes an elephant." But I'm going to talk a little bit about this now. First of all, I'm not asking for a particular pledge increase from any of you. Ultimately, the pledge drive is what you are asking of each other. In my prayers, though, I'd like to see two things happen this year for us as a congregation as a whole. First, I hope that our pyramid of giving can broaden. An extra $10,000 coming from 20 of you, that's an average of a $500 pledge increase, or roughly $10 a week more, is a more encouraging sign of good stewardship for the future of CVUUS than the same sum arriving in the form of a gift from one of our top donors or from a new contributor. Tracy and her team are going to have more to say about this as the pledge drive goes along. More importantly, though, much more importantly, I hope that all of us can encounter the spirit of tithing as Steve DeGroot did in our second reading. Not that I am asking you for a tithe. 10% of income is a standard few of us are in a position to attain at any time in our lives in today's world, much less year after year in an annual operating pledge. But I love that his contribution practice with regard to his church community left him feeling the opportunity to remember who he really was. What, and what an amazing opportunity to remember who you really are when everyday life is pushing you away from that over and over and over. He remembers he's a person who has received abundantly from life, a person whose presence matters in the world, a person whose life has meaning because he's connected to and cares about many things that are larger than himself alone. Now, I'm biased, of course. I was a lifelong UU, but now I'm a UU professional. I do believe that participation in a congregation like ours, including financial participation, is more than a charitable act. I don't view it, my gifts to CVUS, the same way I view my donations to other things. It's a testimony that you belong as either a member or a friend to a community whose purpose is nothing less than enabling love in all its diverse forms to persist in a world where death insists. May you find the level of pledge that meaningfully reflects back to you the image of who your best self is. May that blessing be yours to receive as you give this year and for many years to come. Blessed be, and amen.